What's the name of this podcast?
Eugene Cast.
How am I supposed to pronounce that?
Oig Cast.
A huge cast.
Huge cast.
You're listening to
Huge Cast.
That's right. You're listening to Huge Cast, a volunteer-powered cooperative where we talk with people who may or may not live in the Eugene, Oregon area. We think they have some really cool stories to tell. So sit back, grab a beverage, and ignore your texts.
Hey, this is JoJo, and today I'm talking with the lovely and talented Jill Sager. She's a drummer, a writer, a tarot reader, an intuitive, and a channel. But she is not, I repeat, not a psychic medium. And why not? Like, don't you have a thing against dead people? What's up with that?
Oh, God. I want to talk to my fourth cousin removed who died like a gajillion years ago.
Yeah, no, not doing that. No, here's the thing. You know, that word, I know some people will take that moniker on, you know, psychic. But I honestly, I just feel like if I tell people I'm a psychic or even put that anywhere in my bio, etc., then I just feel like people will call me and say, when is that dark, handsome man coming my way?
And right. Honestly, am I going to win the lottery?
Yeah.
What are my numbers?
Yeah, what are my numbers? And so secretly, JoJo, between you and me, and nobody else, I am a psychic.
Right. Really?
But don't tell anybody because right. I really don't want people to know.
Because you don't want to have to wear bangle jewelries and like a headscarf. And
yeah,
like...
no crystal ball.
Right.
But I
see in your future, yeah, it could be a very interesting. Next Thursday, there will be rain. Yeah.
Exactly.
Weather psychic. That'd be so awesome, though.
Oh my gosh, that would be a niche.
That would be a niche
for somebody else.
Right, right.
For somebody else.
What? I mean, I know that you're working on a book right now. Is it called Messages from Guidance?
You know, that's the working title. We'll see what happens
okay.
at the end.
So let's just start at the top. Oh, what the hell is guidance?
Yeah, right. Really.
Since you're not a psychic, what are you?
What is that? Okay. Well, here's the deal. Guidance means help. And honestly, that's a word that I attach to the information I'm getting from the universe, which even to my ears sounds very odd. I mean, I grew up in the Bronx, New York City. I'm a very down-to-earth person. But what happened was that I started reading tarot cards about, it was like 1976, 77.
Wow, they had tarot cards back then.
Yeah. But they didn't have a lot of books.
That's right.
And they didn't have a lot of instruction.
Right.
So I actually had to teach myself with very few books. But anyway, you know, and I was a musician and doing music and reading tarot cards for years, you know, it really opened up that right side of my brain. And I was going through a really, really bad relationship breakup in my 30s and having a really hard time. And as I'm driving to work, this voice out of nowhere, as I'm driving, comes through and says, "You're going to be okay." It was
you crash your car?
It was so odd.
Like, what? Who said that?
Yeah. Exactly. I'm surprised I didn't crash my car because I knew right away it wasn't me. I'm like, what is that? And I did it kind of like, you know what they say, like the hairs of your neck go. I mean, I was, what is that? But here's the thing that's interesting about that story that although it was odd and I had a moment, I wasn't scared. And I then, what did I do? I then started talking to it.
Right.
Like, what do you mean I'll be okay?
Right.
And are you sure of that?
Right.
And then I had another, but you know, that was it.
Need details here, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, exactly, right, yeah. I didn't then, you know, figure out what that was. I didn't look for it again. But then some years later, I was in California visiting a friend and she asked for a tarot reading. And I gave it to her. And then at the very end of the reading, we were done. And she said, "Oh, I forgot to ask you a question. Can you still like answer a question for me?" And again, I said, "Well, sure." Now, by that time, I had been around people who channel information, who are getting information. Like, what is channel? It's really, gosh, I don't even know. Do we have a dictionary? I mean, it's hard to explain. But, you know, you're really just kind of tapping in and getting some information that you know you're not getting from inside of you. That's the best way I can describe it. So I thought, you know, I've been around people who channel. Why don't I just try it? And so she asked me her question. It had to do with where she was moving to Hawaii. She wanted to know where she was moving. Like, where would be the best spot or something is what she said.
Right.
And I closed my eyes and I tuned in and I saw a map. Now, I had no idea what a map of Hawaii looked like, but I saw this map and this voice pointed down to a part of the map. So I said to her, do you have a map of Hawaii? And she goes, yeah, I do. And she brings it and it's exactly what I had seen in my head, which kind of freaked me out and her out. Yeah. And then she goes, well, and I pointed and she goes, oh my gosh, that's exactly where I was thinking I would move.
Wow.
I know. And so those two incidences kind of started to, then I started to open up, like really go, okay, this is like a thing. What is this thing? But it's
like
a thing. But it's a thing.
Yeah.
And now they say when you're a tarot reader, which I've been doing for years, they do say I don't know who they are, but it's kind of well known that cards will change face. In other words, after reading for a while, you get used to what the cards mean and you read verbatim and you understand, you know, each card, the definitions and all that. But what can happen after a while is that you start to see things in the cards that you didn't see before.
Wow, cool.
And that's intuitive. That's using high intuition. And that started to happen to me as well. So between that, so I started to think, okay, you know, if I'm getting this high intuition from myself, maybe this is just the next step, is to get it from what's available out in the universe. And I honestly, I really still think it's a hard thing to explain, describe, but I work with guidance for myself. And when I read tarot cards today, really, I get a lot of messages for people, things that I couldn't possibly know.
Yeah.
I mean, I once told a person, you know, to read a certain book. I said, you know, I don't know, maybe you've read it, maybe you haven't read it, but they're saying it's really important that you dive in. And sure enough, you know, the woman goes, you know, I just read it, but there's some stuff that I explained to her. Anyway, she was very much about the fact that she had read it and some of the information I was giving her, she needed to tap back into. There's, you know, so things come through.
Whether you want it or not, can you turn it off? Or is it just kind of like background noise? Like, we have stuff to tell you and about this person. And, you know, can you turn it off? Or do you just choose to ignore it?
Yeah, I don't turn it on except when somebody comes to me for a reading.
Oh, wow.
And wants information. Or I turn it on for myself.
Yeah.
Now, with close friends, sometimes it has gotten turned on. even when I didn't ask for it or they didn't ask me.
Right.
And in that case, I have to figure out whether I'm going to share that information or not. But most of my friends really, I should say all of my friends at this point know this about me and are more than willing to, allow me to tell them what I've gotten for them because.
Oh yeah. Being on the receiving end of that sometimes is shocking. Only because you're just like, whoa, I totally did not expect that to happen. Or like, wow, okay. But
well, I tell you.
I don't know. It's always fun. It's
Oh, well, that's good. But, you know, I've also told my friends you can kick me under the table if it's too much. So there's some of that, too.
Yeah.
And you have a few times, that's which is understandable.
Oh, well, you know me. I mean, I will tell people all day, every day, that if they're looking for somebody to go, you're going to meet your boyfriend on Thursday. Or something like nice and fluffy. That they should not go to you.
Yeah, no.
They should not get, you are not that kind of intuitive.
No.
You're like, yeah, before the boyfriend, that's really great, but you need to get your house in order.
Yeah, I'm more in your face kind of intuitive.
Yeah, that's like the New York Bronx girl intuitive.
Exactly.
It's like, oh no, she didn't.
Exactly. That's kind of more my speed where I'm
that's
at.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Right between the eyes.
That's right. That's right. So why did you, I mean, I read off your litany of things that you have done. Why did you decide that this was your path now? Because you're all of those things and you have done so many things. Why now? Why are you following this path now?
I have always done this, reading tarot cards, et cetera, as a sideline. It was like something that if someone called and they wanted a reading, I would say, absolutely, sure, you know, I'll do that. And now when I had the drum school in Eugene for about 10 years, I was also doing that concurrently with the drum school. And that was the time when I was more out as a tarot reader and I was more, but I think throughout my life I've always had some love. I'm not going to say love-hate relationship with it, but love, I don't know about this side of my life kind of relationship. So I always had a hard time with it. And over the years, I thought, well, what is it? Am I afraid of the responsibility of it? Do I just feel it's odd and weird? And, you know, I was always a little embarrassed telling people, yeah, I'm a tarot reader and I do this, you know. So that was my personal kind of challenge. And so, but it was always there, and I never denied someone a reading. And through, and honestly, over the last 40 plus years of doing this, word of mouth did spread. And so I have clients all over the US, which was, you know, just is something that happened. But when I quit my last day job, which was about 2 years ago, I was in a place where I wasn't sure what I was going to do, what I wanted to do. And there you go. Guidance sent me a message and said, you know, and now I'm paraphrasing. They don't exactly talk like this, but it was kind of like, you know, this is what you were supposed to be doing your whole life, like this. Like,
oh, snap.
Exactly. Like, why? What? Yeah. Oh, do it. You know, like, what?
What are you waiting for?
Yeah. And it really had a sense. The sense I picked up was that this has been helpful to people. I do get that feedback over. I mean,
yeah.
And why? So I can't even express it, but it was a little bit like I got between, you know, like they kicked me between the eyes. Like,
finally.
Yeah. Like, why aren't you helping people? Like, what's the problem here? Right. Like, get over yourself, you know?
Oh, ouch. Yeah. See, not fluffy at all.
No, exactly.
Like, kumbaya, you're so pretty.
Yeah. And wow. But, you know, honestly, I have a website. I kind of got all this stuff together. But again, you know, it took me, I'm really in the pocket of it now. And I really feel good about it, and I feel more inclined to get the word out. Here I am on a podcast, like, out
right
as a tarot reader. But it took me, you know, but 2 years ago, but it took me about a good year and a half to really settle into this identification, you know, in a way.
Yeah,
like, where I'm happy to hand out business cards and people right. ask me what I do, and
it's on the top of your list.
Yeah, on the top of my list now. Yeah, I'm kind of an ex drummer and an ex,
right. But a full-time writer, though, still, because you're writing your book.
Yeah, full-time writer, which happened, which was something that surprised me. I mean, I, you know, like a lot of people, I've journal written over the years and really enjoyed the process. But I had, when I was doing the drum school, I wrote an instructional hand drum book on how to drum, beginning, it's called Beginning Hand Drumming, a guide to Recreation and Wellness. And it was through that process of writing the book, which you, by the way, I always thank JoJo because she helped me edit the book. She's a great editor. You're a great editor. And you're welcome. And I ended up loving the process of, you know, and writing something like that is so much different than just journal writing.
Which is a surprise after working with you. It's like I had to, like, you know, lance you down to a lash you down to a table to get you to talk about it when we were trying to edit that thing, and now you're like, I love it, read my stuff, it's amazing.
It's true. Every time you said you know, you got to rewrite that paragraph, I was like, oh,
I'm avoiding
cursing, but yeah, there was a lot of cursing going on.
Yeah, mostly, but, yeah. Right to my face.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely to your face. But, you know, I really learned a lot from that process and learned a lot from you, and took some writing courses, and now I'm just really love the process, all of it. And the editing, actually, you know, really is, I find that to be the funnest.
And the one that you're working on right now is translations. It's messages from guidance, right? It's just like the straight poop from guidance.
Yeah. Yeah. I had been over the years writing down information that they were sending me, you know, channeled information. And and I decided to kind of pull that out and take a look at it. And I was, okay, can I say, I was impressed with what I was getting. I mean, really, I reread it and cry and just think, wow, this is so incredible. So I thought, yeah, I should get the word out. And so I pulled that together. But then I thought, oh, you know, maybe I'll write how I've utilized that information in my life. And so that's another part of the book. Each chapter has how I've used the information. And then you and I were talking, and I think you suggested, what about tips then? How, you know, it's one thing for me to use the information, because some of the information that they send out is kind of pretty esoteric. And
yeah, it's heady stuff.
It's heady stuff, and it's okay that way. You know, it's a little bit like, I'm liking it now to like reading a Rumi poem, where you can read it on a certain level, but it's kind of deep too. And right. And you might get some of that, you might not, but you definitely everyone will get something out of reading what they've written, or they've off, you know, given to me. But yeah, but I liked your idea about tips, so I'm kind of doing that too.
Because I'm a practical Virgo barrel, so I need things about, like, you know, that's really like awesome that the esoteric thing about abundance, it's just you think abundantly. And I'm just like, yeah, that does not help me pay the damn bill.
Right. And then my personal story is my personal story, and everybody's different. Sure. So I like, yeah. So I'll throw in some tips there about how other people can use the information in a more
concrete way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause yeah.
Yeah.
It makes it much more user friendly.
Yeah. And I might have you help me with that.
Okay, good. Because I'm a practical girl.
You're my Virgo.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I, you know, listen to other people that are, you know, your favorite psychics. But the one thing that they do talk about, whether they're a medium or a psychic or whatever the hell they call themselves, is they all talk about how they get information from that ethereal plane. So what does your information look like when you're in the middle of a session?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to describe. I kind of feel like it comes from my left side. And that's kind of, yeah, from my left side. And the way it, and I get pictures, I get symbols, I get very specific words and or sentences. But mostly, I can describe better maybe how it feels. When I'm open to that feeling or that the information, it feels like it's love. And I'm saying that because what is love? You know, that gets a little, you know, heady. But I feel really open and I don't mean open to the channel. I mean open to unconditional love, what love is supposed to feel like. And I don't feel that every day in my life. I've got my judgments and the way I can close my heart and my opinions and...
oh, no, you're human.
All that. Yeah, exactly. But when I'm in that frame of reference, even for myself, when I open for myself to get information, it is so heartwarmingly love. I mean, the feeling is this, it's almost like, you know, I describe it on my website a little bit like it's like a fairy godmother, you know, like Cinderella, who just wanted the best for her. And if her best was going to the ball, then damn it, they were going to help her get to the ball. And that's how I feel when I open to this channel. What I'm seeing in people is their absolute best. And I don't mean, and you know, the guidance that I channel, there is no right or wrong or good or bad or even the word best. Sometimes when I have to translate what I'm getting through a picture, even the word I'll use, they'll kind of tap me and go, you know, that's not a good, don't use that word, or we don't, you know, there is no good or bad.
And We did not say that.
Right. And I have to describe that to a client, you know, that there is no good or bad, but it's pure. It's a pure sense of this unconditional love that, I wish I had a better word for. But it's very open-hearted, and that sounds like a cliche. You ask me that, I'll have to think if I can come up with better words, you know?
Well, but yeah.
I mean, does that make sense to you, what I'm saying?
It does make sense to me because I'm not going to lie. Like, you've helped me open up my heart, too, so I get to experience, maybe not as often as you do, but I get that every once in a while. And it feels like a fuzzy warm blanket. Mm-hmm. And even if they are giving you the hard truth,
Because at least in my, I see, you call it guidance. I call it the lovely assistants.
Yeah, there you go.
Because
I love that.
They are always there.
Love it.
And it's never just one person or
right.
one thing.
Right.
It is a they, not a them. It right. is a collective.
That's how I feel it too. Like it's more than, like yeah. it's a collective. Yeah.
And even when they're busting my ass, it's done with so much love and compassion. Like just a baby kitty feeling. Like it's okay. Like, it's okay. Like, you didn't do anything wrong. You're not going to have to worry about it. It's just, don't be so hard on yourself.
Right.
That's mostly what it feels like. It's like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's a nice way to describe it.
Blankets.
Yeah.
Or your favorite stuffed animal when you were a kid. That's just like whispering, like, I love you. Like, you're amazing. Like you're so cute.
Or like that feeling when you hold your favorite stuffed animal,
yeah.
that you just felt safe.
Yes.
And protected.
Yeah.
And you know, you are being seen by them, and you're again like in your best light in a way.
Yeah.
It kind of elevates a belief in what's possible, in how much one can love themselves. I've learned a lot about how much time we spend being hard on ourselves in general, when really what we're meant to do is figure out how not to do that and just feel more joyous and more in sync with ourselves. And that's something that I really admire when I read for people, or, you know, like for you, what you're describing for yourself. I really believe that this channel that I've opened up to, I see it like a radio frequency that's always on. And I really believe all of us can tap into it. And it's not just for some people or just like for me or,
I'm 100% believer in that.
Yeah. It's totally available. And really, it is really about love. And you know, what's wrong with that? You know? So, yeah.
I can't.
Can we think of one thing that love would be bad for? I don't know. I can't think of
one. No. Maybe we should just start a new business and start selling adult stuffed animals.
I mean, yeah, hold this.
Yeah.
Feeling
right,
bad?
Right.
Hold this.
Right.
Oh, I like that idea.
Right. We could just call it baby kitty. Just hold this little stuffed cat and try to feel bad after you hold this stuffed cat.
That's
like,
right.
It just goes right in your ear. Like, you can't feel bad with a kitten anyway. But, yeah. And I totally believe that it's open to everybody, not just the special few that started ahead of the race. Because, you know, I feel like I'm proof of being able to open up to something larger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? Yeah. And I don't, you know, I do this work for other people because I do it for myself, too. I really am somebody who feels like I'm only sharing the stuff that I know and the stuff I live by. And that's not a dead end. I mean, I'm still learning and growing and trying to figure this out. And no matter how much I learn, I 3 steps forward, 10 steps back. So it's just part of a process. But I've always been committed to change. That's kind of maybe in my DNA, and not afraid of, I wasn't afraid of that other side of the veil, or however we want to describe this thing, you know. And that too maybe is part of my DNA. It never scared me. I always felt like hey, why not?
Well, and this is just the perfect question to ask then. If you were going to have somebody who is interested in starting to open up that connection, how would you tell them to start? I mean, I know the start of my journey, which I am fond of telling anybody. What would you or guidance have to say about, like, step one is...
Well, what was your journey?
Oh, God. It was the most painful time, because I remember how much sadness I had. And guidance told me, I'm still just like, I remember those times. Guidance told me that my first order of business was to sit down and have a cup of tea. Sit down. It wasn't sit down and read a book. It wasn't sit down and watch some TV. It wasn't sit down and take up knitting. It was sit down, have a cup of tea, and look out the damn window. And it was like, oh, you're not the boss of me. Like, how is that helpful? I want to be psychic. How is this helpful?
Right.
And it was practice number one, which was to stop. stop the noise, stop the chit-chat. I mean, it probably would have gone faster had I been a meditator, which I am now. But it was just like, I can't sit down for more than 5 seconds. And so that little step one for me took a year and a half before I could comfortably sit down in a chair and drink some tea.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh my gosh, this is fabulous.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, that's a beautiful story, because it really shows that, you know, in order to be in touch with ourselves first, so we can be in touch with the greater universe, we do have to be quiet. We do have to allow for those moments of silence. And everybody, you know, everybody's different in terms of how they're gonna, this is what I think anyway, everyone, my opinion, my humble opinion, whatever, my opinion. But I think everybody's different in terms of how they're going to open up, because I've had clients ask me that, and like you, you know, you get this answer, and it can be very specific to an individual. But I will say this, I have thought about it a lot, because I get the question a lot, and in a general sphere, I believe that opening up to this thing that can't be named takes a few, I think in general for all of us, it takes a certain amount of trust, being a trusting person about it. If fear comes into play, it's going to be harder. So I think we have to learn how to trust it. And I also think that that the first order to do this is to, you know, be in touch with our own intuition, like trust our own intuition first.
Right.
And a lot of people don't have that, you know, like trusting. I think we all are listening to our intuition, but we don't always follow our intuition, or we second guess, or we don't believe, or we don't pay attention, or that kind of thing. So I think that's part of your sitting down and having tea, was so you could also listen to your inner voice.
Yeah.
And I think listening to our inner voice is also a first step. But after our inner voice, there is that other step, that outer voice. That I knew too, listening, wasn't my mother's.
Right.
It wasn't my brother's. Right. It wasn't, you know, a rabbi or some priest. I mean, it was really something else that I knew was coming through.
I can always tell, because especially if it doesn't make any sense and they are on my ass, like, you have to go take care of this. And I'm like, I will take care of it in a bit. I actually have a great story about that. I was in meditation, and I mean, it was just like, I was beginning meditating, and I'm like sitting there, and I'm trying to like calm my mind. And I hear the, you know, you should reach out to Hannah, because I don't think she has an internship yet. And I was like, okay, I'll do it later. They're like, no, do it now. And I'm like, no, come on, seriously, like, let me finish this thing. And that sense would not let up. And I was like, if I text her, will you leave me alone? They're like, yes. So I texted her, and then it was like quiet. And then it was like, you know, Snow White's birds singing, like, yay.
Right.
And then, you know, and then like the happily ever after was that she became my intern, and like, it was amazing. I had a fabulous experience with her.
Right.
But it was like, that's what it's like. It's not sniping. It's like this loving, gentle sniping. It's still like sniping. Do this.
Like nagging.
Do this. Like nagging.
Like nagging.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, and that's true. I get that. Yeah, that nagging, that's true. If they really want you to know something, that's been my experience too, you'll get it more than once.
Oh,
I mean, even when I read for a client, you know, I'm just with someone for 20 minutes or an hour, depends on what they want, you know, and I'll hear something, but I'm in the middle of something else, you know, so I don't say it. And then I hear it again. I'm in the middle of something else. Right. And then finally, the third time, usually I'm like, okay, listen, I need to tell you this.
Right.
I once was doing a reading for a woman who I knew. She actually was a good friend. And what I knew about her was she was a candle lighter. I mean, she lit candles all the time. And she always took candles with her. She traveled for work, and she always took candles with her. And so I'm doing a reading for her one day, and she was about to head out to a work trip. And as I'm talking to her and giving her this reading, guidance is going, tell her to bring a candle. Now, I heard that, but I totally did ignore it, because I'm like, I even remember kind of talking to them this while I was talking to her, going, she brings candles, like, leave me alone, you know? Well, they said it again. Wow. They said it again. And at the very end of her reading, when it was all over, I said, you know, they kept I'm supposed to tell you to bring candles, which is so, I was like apologizing. I'm so sorry to, she looks at me, she goes, oh my gosh, I forgot to pack one. And I was like, no way. She's like, yeah, I'm totally packed. And I totally forgot to pack one. So there you go. Just do what your grandmother tells you.
Yeah.
And don't argue with them.
Booby.
Yeah. Now, the other side of that, I will say this. The other side of that is I do believe in free choice, free will. So even for my own use of guidance, when I get a message, if it doesn't hit me correctly, and if it doesn't, yeah, if it doesn't hit me correctly, or I'm like, really, I'm supposed to do that. I'm not somebody who does it right away, who like takes their word for it and just goes, right. Well, okay, they want me to do that, then I'll do it. No way. I sit with it. If I get the message again, I pay more attention, and usually that's what happens. And usually, I have clocked this. It's usually about 3 days of listening to it, and then something changes in me usually where really? I agree. And I'm saying agree because I honestly can't remember a time that I disagree, that I end up disagreeing and going, no, I'm not going to do that. Like I really, eventually I get on board, and I have to say, it's kind of like, I hate to say it, but it just seems like they're always right. even if
damn it. Yeah.
Even if at first I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, you're not the boss of me.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's okay. It's okay not to do what they say. It's definitely okay not to do what they say just because they said it. But I have to line up with it. If it's the right answer, I have to know it. I have to know it for myself.
Right.
You know, a little bit like when I moved to Eugene, you know, I came up to Eugene because my girlfriend at the time was moving up here. But I knew that I couldn't come here because she was coming. I had to come up here, check it out, and decide for myself whether I wanted to live here.
Yeah.
So that's no different, you know. Guidance can't just tell me what to do. I have right. to, it has You're to feel right.
You're not the boss of me.
It has to feel right.
You don't know me.
That's right.
Well, and you told me this a long time ago about Eugene, that Eugene has some kind of mystical, weird thing where people come here to figure stuff out.
Yeah. Eugene has a healing property. I've been told that by guidance. People do come here. They may not even realize they're coming here to heal, but a lot of people do come here, end up learning some stuff about themselves or something, and then they move on. And that is definitely stuff I've seen happen with people here, and it is a healing place, and it's something, if you don't know this, it's something that can be taken advantage of while you're here.
Well, yeah,
living here.
Well, that I can definitely say that was not my intention when I moved here, but that was just something that happened almost immediately when I moved here, because I think I met you like 5 minutes after I moved here.
Yeah, you came for a reading.
I know,
somebody
I came
had
for, yeah.
recommended me.
Because I was just like, oh, I could really use some whatever. And it was like, I wasn't even here for like 2 months or something.
Right. And right. That's yeah. right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And It was at your drum school.
Yeah, it was at the drum school. I was giving readings at my drum school. Yeah, that's where I had my office. Yeah, and that healing is really about, knowing ourselves, learning how to move forward in our lives, you know, so that we don't feel so stuck, so we're not suffering so much. That's what healing really is about, you know, trying to understand what's going on below the surface so that we're not victims, we're not being led by the nose, we understand that we're making choices in life. And to do all that and to understand that really joy, you know, joy is where it's at, which is an easy thing to say, a harder thing to pull off.
Well, like anything worth having, sometimes it takes practice.
And it takes a little bit of work. It
takes a little work. And, you know, as an annoying Pollyanna person, people get really mad at me when I'm smiling and happy and joyful more of the time than not.
Mm.
And so, you know.
Why is that?
Well, they get annoyed with me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes I think it's easier for people to just stay in the, you know, it's so hard. You don't know. And here's the entire list of shit that's not working. And I'm like, yeah. But look at, like, if you look over here just a little bit, here's all the shit that is working.
Right.
Like,
right.
Why are you looking at that stuff when you got this stuff?
Right, right.
And I'm just like, yes, I ride a unicorn to work.
You know, it's like, I want to hop on that.
Right.
I'm all
I'm
about
like
it.
All bluebirds and unicorns. And I understand that it can't be all bluebirds and unicorns all the time. But I think, like, especially for like the last 3 years, it's definitely been
figuring out where my focus is.
Right.
And if your focus is always on shit that ain't working,
you do get more of that.
You do get a lot of that.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, that's changed in my life is also that I can move through those cycles, those challenging cycles, so much quicker.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time when I could be depressed for, well, it felt like years, you know. I mean, just, humbug, and every day was a drag, and why can't I find any joy, and life's so hard, and blah, blah, blah. But I have really found that if something brings me down, that, don't hold me to this, but there are times that I can cycle through it in seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes it takes days. I'm not saying it's always that way, but to have gone from such a long period of feeling that, you know, things were hard to being able to turn that around and see that I can actually make choice to make it easier.
Right.
Has been such a gift in my life. And that's really what I'm trying to share with other people through the work I do.
And I do think that that's a huge component of it in terms of, like, people have the choice to be happy and joyful. And that will just lead to more happy and joyful stuff.
Yeah.
And even the stuff that's harder, maybe not so fun, it still leads to better things, always.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, what we're all dealing with are challenges that happen in our lives that we either bring on ourselves or environmentally or externally. Those challenges come to us.
Yeah.
I mean, terrible things can come to us in life. Death, I mean, you know, other people dying. I mean, tragedies, I mean, that we can't even imagine, you know, to people we love that we have to deal with and all sorts of things. But still, at the end of the day, it's how we deal with those tragedies because, you know, and this might sound Pollyannish, I don't know. But, you know, I guess for me, at the end of the day, it's about my life and how I feel and what I'm carrying through life.
Yeah.
And something guidance taught me a long time ago was if I'm constantly in a state of suffering, then I'm unable to help others who are suffering because I'm so much in my suffering.
Right.
And two, and I do believe this, I'm just adding more suffering to the world. And I believe that, you know, it's not to say, now this is not to say that I'm responsible for all, I mean, it almost sounds like the way it came out, maybe it sounds like maybe like an ego or something. It's really not. It's just this sense that I have that, I mean, like taking anger, for instance, if I'm like in my car, angry at the idiot in front of me who didn't signal, which I sometimes am. If I become aware of that, really what I notice is that I'm just adding more anger to the world. That's what I notice. And that's my responsibility not to do that.
Right.
And that does motivate me to change how I'm feeling in that moment. And that to me is, I don't know. That's just how I live. And I do feel like ultimately, how I feel toward myself is what I'm going to put out into the world and affect the world. And also, affect me. It affects me. Do I want to be stressed out? Do I want to go through life judging people and, you know, not supporting people because I'm jealous or whatever? I know that all what I'm saying to be true. I am not saying that I am good at any of it. I'm still working on that, still, you know, and I doubt I'm going to get it right. You know, I'll be dead, crossed over, going, I still didn't get it right. But, you know, I don't have any expectation that I will, but it is something I think about and something that I believe is true.
Well, it's just one practice after another. It's just practice. And there's practice. So much good wisdom out there. I mean, you are one conduit to which I am greatly appreciative. And I love the fact that you're not the only one. You're not the only one that's trying to break through the noise of crap. Is that there's other people talking in this fashion, and it all comes down to the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all saying it in a different way that more people can hear.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
No, I like the fact that we can Lego all this stuff together. I mean, you were just talking about the road stuff. And I was just thinking, Brené Brown said, don't work your shit out on other people. And that has like stuck with me for a really long time. And
when you're grouchy and everything else, like you want to just offload that to somebody else, but that's working your shit out on somebody else. And I'm like,
right.
So, I mean, that's the nice part is you're one of many voices that are really out there now, louder than they ever have been in a really good way.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I do appreciate other people's voices too. And the thing too about if you do throw your shit out on other people, then at least apologize. Yeah. A good apology goes a long way because we're not perfect, but at least take responsibility for the fact that you did it. You know what I mean?
Feel free to own your crap.
Yeah, there's another. There's another. Is that a bumper sticker?
I don't know, but it should be.
That should be a bumper sticker.
Feel free to own your crap. Oh. Well, you know, I'm now like the owner of a growing T-shirt collection that says funny things. So maybe that's one I can make. Feel free to own your crap.
Please add that. Add that to the list. That's a good one.
Well, two things before we go out. And one of those things is, does guidance have anything they want to add to this thing for people at large or a message of whatever? I'm not going to tell them what to say because they always yell at me. So,
well, you know, you ask as I'm sitting here, I'm asking too, what is it? And I know, like, here I am editing, I'm not going to edit, but really, you know what they're saying? Love. They're saying love, and I'm feeling that through as I get that kind of information, and I'm getting kind of welled up, interior-eyed. It's always the same message. Bottom line, when people come to me, they're going to get very specific messages for their life in terms of how to maneuver their life. But here we are, generally talking, and it's love. They're just saying love, 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 love.
It's a pretty darn good feeling.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a pretty darn good message.
Yeah.
But again, you know, what we do with that, how each of us responds to that, what it means to love, that's what we all really need to get with. And
starts at home, too. Yeah, I mean, you know, like that starts with self.
With self, yeah.
And if we could all just do that a little bit more, be a little kinder to self, have a little bit more love and compassion for self, then it would be easier to feel that outside.
Absolutely, sure.
Unless I'm completely mental, which is totally possible.
Well, you are mental, but you know.
In that good way.
In a good way.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
Well, one last question for you is, where can people find you?
Oh, well, thanks for asking. Right now it's summer, and I am actually at Saturday Market here in Eugene on Saturdays. But I have a website. Jill Amy Sager or Sager, I don't care either way, jillamysager.com. And all my information's on my website, phone number, and you can email me if you want a reading or just to ask questions, you know, just to say hi. I have a Facebook page, Jill Amy Sager. I have Instagram, you know, all that social media stuff.
The Instagrams. Right on. Well, and you do phone readings, and like, you don't have to live in Eugene to get a reading from you, right?
No, actually, not at all. As a matter of fact, a woman called today from LA. We did a phone reading. We also, you know, video call if people prefer, but yeah, I can do that.
So they can see your sparkling face. Watch you if you go into your psychic trance. No, I'm just kidding. I know. Are you sure you don't want to talk to dead people before we leave? Are you sure?
Yeah, you know what they say.
No. What do they say?
I don't know either. No.
Yeah.
Dead people. No, I think actually it's funny you should say that. I have, don't tell anybody this, but I have talked to some dead people for clients. And it's interesting to do that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, look, I'm willing. People come, they ask questions if all sorts of things. It's true. But don't tell anybody I'm a psychic because I'm not giving you the lottery numbers.
Okay. Thanks so much for coming out.
Thanks for having me. Okay. And yeah, I appreciate it.
Right on.
And now for some housekeeping. HugeCast would like to thank its contributors, volunteers, and sponsors. A huge thanks goes out to Mark Davis at Eugene Tech for providing guidance and enthusiasm. To Trifoya for providing equipment, space, beverages, and the occasional pizza. And to That Supergirl for providing web hosting. Our producer is Kimberly Noel. Music and soundscapes conceived by Mike Jones. Audio editors include Mike Jones and Christopher Mitchell. Audio engineer is Christopher Mitchell. HugeCast hosts are the amazing Adam Wendt and the delightful JoJo Jensen. If you like what you hear, please give us a review. 5 stars would be nice. And who knows, we might even read your comments during the show. So thanks for listening, or sleeping through it. Either way, thanks.